Welcome to A Productive Conversation. It's me, Mike Vardy, and another episode from The Vault this week. It's Mike Rohde. Mike is a fantastic friend. We haven't seen each other in a long time, though. Again, thanks to, you know, obviously things that are going on in the world. But we've had a few conversations online in the interim, and this is a conversation that we had, you know, online as well. But we were able to actually hear each other. So Mike Rohde is, of course, the person behind this, the Sketchnote handbook, the Sketchnote workbook. He gets visual conveying of messages. I've been trying to get better at that over the years, and I have to say that Mike's inspired me to do that. And you know, he kicked off that whole idea for me. If David Allen and Merlin Mann were the people that kind of inspired me to dive into the world of productivity, and Stephen Colbert and other comedic types were the ones that kind of inspired me to take maybe a different angle towards it, Mike was the one that kind of inspired me to say, hey, what if you didn't just focus on writing, but you made it a bit more visually appealing to bridge that gap? Mike did that. And so this is a fun conversation, which I try to bring back to the fore, the fun ones, the ones that I think were, you know, may have surprised people that listened to it for the first time. So let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Mike Rohde. Enjoy. Well, everybody, I've got Mike Rohde on the show with me today. Mike, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, no problem, Mike. It's great to be here.
Now, Mike is probably best known. I've chatted with him before, and we'll put a link to the show notes in previous episodes where back in the olden times when I did podcasts on 5x5, where you were the author of the, and still are the author, of the Sketchnote Handbook and the Sketchnote Workbook. I'll have links to that in the show notes as well. But you're now the creator of something that caught my attention a couple of months back. And I'm like, I got to talk to Mike about this thing. It's called the Daily Plan Bar. And I wanted to have a chance to chat with you about it because the audience here is big into, you know, nerding out about productivity, as you would imagine. Mm-hmm. And the paper-based productivity is a big thing. I've loved it. I mean, you know my love of analog tools, and I know your love of analog tools. So I want to – can you kind of – we're going to link to the description and the Medium post in particular that talks about it. But can you talk a little bit about, first off, what the Daily Plan Bar is and why you decided to come up and put it into practice?
Sure. So a brief description of the Daily Plan Bar is this idea that I wanted to get away from my computer for managing most of my day, mainly because if I were on my computer, I tended to be distracted by Slack pings or Skype. I work in a corporate environment, so I get Skype messaging or emails would come in, or there's always something interesting to look at that is not working. And I had this tendency, if I was using Outlook, that I would sort of get sucked down these rabbit holes, like, how did I end up here? And I realized, oh, I was going to check my schedule, and then this email came in, and then I looked at this thing on the web, and, you know, it's 20 minutes later, and how did I get here? So I wanted to find a way that I could separate myself when I wanted to more easily. But also, I kind of felt like with Outlook, I didn't always feel really connected to my day in the way that I wanted to be. And I felt like maybe there was an analog way to do that. I've explored over the years a variety of ways to use analog things. Obviously, sketchnoting is one of those things, which can be used analog or digital, right? I use an iPad Pro and a pencil, and it works great for that. But there's some other things in the past, which you could probably look up. There was a time where I used to have a Palm Pilot back in the olden days, and I lost it in the seat cushion in my living room by accident. Didn't realize it just slipped down and fell down there for 6 months. And rather than spend the money at the time to buy a new Palm Pilot, I thought, well, why couldn't I just create my own calendar? So I got a blank Moleskine pocket notebook, and I realized I could split it up into a week if I was creative with it. And so I did that, and I called that Planner Hack. So you can actually go to plannerhack.com and see that it's a single page with just, you know, the plan, sort of, you know, the day, the week's plan on a single spread. So that was one of my first experiments a long time ago. And then I found my Palm Pilot and sort of used the both of them. So I found what that sort of walked me into is that these analog tools have an interesting way of helping you connect a little bit more with your schedule because you're writing it down. In some cases, if you're using a manual method for tasks, you're sort of you have to move them. So you get annoyed with them. And then at some point you want to either stop doing them or get them finished, right? Get them off that list so you don't have to keep copying them. And so I remembered that I'd done that. And I thought maybe there's a way that I could do this. And I also remembered a friend of mine, Bill Westerman, who came up with a very similar concept way back in the day around that same time, where what he would do is in the morning, he would look at his schedule and he would create a long, narrow bar of his day. And he would sort of color in areas and give titles to the areas next to this long, skinny bar for the things he was going to do, including like blocking out time to do work. And as the day would progress, he would sort of X something out and write something else in. And it looked kind of messy, but for him, it helped him sort of stay in tune with his day. And then he had a method for tracking tasks, which is something like a Dash Plus system. It was something he modified a little bit that I adopted as well. And when I started getting interested in this idea of connecting myself to my calendar, I immediately was noticing bullet journal stuff. So I actually reached out and started talking with Ryder Carroll, and he was kind enough to send me one of his branded bullet journals to give it a try. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try and just see how it works. And I started using it as it was for about 6-7 months, and I burned through that book and really enjoyed it. And I had this epiphany, I guess. I realized, hey, Bill Westerman sort of had this bar thing, but I want to modify it a little bit, and I've got this history of analog stuff. Maybe I should try this. So I ran that for, I think, 3 or 4 months in my bullet journal. I started modifying the bullet journal with this bar along either the right or the left edge of my page, and I would sit down in the morning and I would look at my Outlook calendar and I would write down what I planned to do that day. And that way, if I went to a meeting, I wouldn't have to take my laptop. I could just take my book and really focus in the meeting. Again, the distraction of having the laptop with me could be left behind because I knew I could write like the room number I was in or whatever it was that I wanted to see. But I think the deeper benefit was is it connected me with the things that I planned to do for that day. And it helped me sort of internalize it in a way that Outlook just never really seemed to do it for me.
So, it's interesting because we're seeing a lot more people revert back to planners. I was reading an article recently where paper planners are back on the rise in terms of people wanting to get away from the digital stuff. So when you're putting the daily plan bar together, like where does the digital come into play? Because it's got to. I mean, for me, I love the paper stuff, but the long term, is it the same for you? Like the long term incubation stuff lives digitally. And then when you're sitting there with the daily plan bar and you want to, and I'd love you to touch on this other thing you've been working on as well, that's a little bit further in scope. But is it you look at, okay, here's what I have on my plate in the digital world, and then you transfer it over. And then you like, is that kind of how you play it off? So they feed off of one another?
Yes, that's exactly right. So I work in an environment where, so I mentioned one of the tools we use is Outlook.
Yeah.
Or, we could use there's other tools. I guess people have hacked Apple Mail to work here if they like that
you
better.
You can really use any tool. I mean, you could use,
really?
I use Asana and Todoist for my task management, but that doesn't mean that it's not good to have it written down in some kind of paper format as well for the very reasons you mentioned.
Yeah. So the way I think about it is this, we use something called, they call it TFS. It's some kind of a Microsoft tool that manages both code and tasks. We work in an agile environment. So there's sort of almost like a Kanban system where you drag a card over in the task and you show it, it's now in progress and now it's finished. So we have that as well. And that's sort of, I think of as my master. So the Outlook calendar, because people can invite me, things change. That's sort of the master, as well as this list area where my tasks live and the larger incremental features that where the tasks are tied to live. And what I thought was, if I use the computer to manage those, again, I'm back into distraction land and it doesn't help me. I wanted to find a way that I could extract things I needed just for that day. So that's where the plan bar being only daily made sense. I could that morning draw it out. I could look at my to-do list stuff, my bigger list, my bigger backlog of the 100 things or whatever that have to be done in the next 6 months, and take out the 3 or 4 things that I'm doing today. Because I think my tendency is, even when I did bullet journaling, I tended to write down way too much stuff. Like I had way too many tasks. Now I probably couldn't narrow it down to 3 things, but maybe it's more like 6 or something like that. But I would write maybe 10 or 12, and fully knowing I'd maybe get to about 6, and that would be it for the day, and something would have to be moved. So this was an attempt to sort of look to the master sources, draw out the things that were helpful to me in this particular day. What are the 3, 4, 5 things I can do? What's my plan going to look like? Who am I going to lunch with? What rooms am I in? And then I could shut my computer if I wanted to and go work, or I could turn off the internet or quit all the apps that would bother me and just focus in Sketch or Photoshop or whatever. And then have a book that I could turn to. And I could, what I sort of turned into doing was I would draw the book and I would leave it on top of the closed Mac in front of me. And then I would have the large screen that I work on, you know, working on a mock-up or something like that. I could just leave it open and quickly glance and see, hey, I'm going to lunch at 11 o'clock. You know, I could sort of peek at it because I just grabbed it. Now, obviously there's some disconnection. So if somebody moves a meeting on you, you sort of have to have that. And I mean, that's always going to be a challenge, even if you're electronically connected. If you don't see that message, you still might miss the meeting, right? So that's not necessarily a complete solution. But it gave me sort of a good sense, and I could just leave it open on top of the Mac and work. And I found that really effective. It sort of was a good moderating position between fully diving into these task and info areas that had so much information I didn't know where to start. And it sort of helped me abstract it down to the few things I wanted to focus on just in that day.
Yeah, directs your day. Basically, that's what, because the trap we all fall into, no matter what tool you use, if you don't plan your day, someone else is going to, or something else is going to. It's going to derail you. So this allows you to kind of define how the day is going to look. And yeah, I mean, there are going to be things that pop up, but then you've got this daily plan bar to refer back to where if something, and it's kind of the same process when I talk about daily theming, right? You know, if something pops up, you're going to go, okay, let me deal with that urgent item. And then instead of coming back and going, well, now what do I do? You've got a clear picture in front of you what you should be doing at that point in time, because you know, whether it's the day before or earlier that day, said, this is what I should be doing, so let's do this. So, I mean, if you leave yourself to your own devices, that's when things can become problematic. Now, you're doing this for the week now too, though, right?
Yeah, so I saw, I can't remember who I saw this, Patrick Rohn on his blog mentioned someone, and I'm kicking myself for not remembering who this was, who had seen my daily plan bar and had thought, hey, this would be really interesting to do a week at a time. So actually, he re-inspired me to think of this in the same way, because what I found was the daily plan bar works really good if where it really worked well was if I had some tasks on the list, I had the bar with all the day's stuff, and then I needed space to write notes. So I'd go to meetings and I would write some notes either about what I was meeting on, or maybe I need the hex color for this. I would write it in the book, or I could write, I would have a space for writing notes. What it's not maybe great for is if you don't really write a lot of notes and you only have a couple of tasks, you end up with a whole page kind of not being fully used, because the bar sort of consumes the right side and right. The tasks, are just in the top. You have this big middle piece of the page and now you've burned a page, which, I mean, I don't have a problem with burning pages, but seeing this idea of like putting all 5 days for a work week on a page, I thought that was a really interesting idea. So I started to experiment with it, I think about a month or a month and a half ago, and I kind of like it. And what I do is it's the same idea. On Monday, I'll sort of draw the bars out, and I'll leave the ones that are later in the week a little bit empty until I get to those days. So Monday, I'll fill that in more detail. Tuesday gets a little less detailed. Maybe Wednesday, there's just a meeting or two that I'm pretty sure are going to happen. And then on the right page, so I tend to prefer like it being on the left and then a page being on the right, but I guess it could flip the other way. But on the opposite page, let's say, then I've got my tasks. And what I like about this as well is because I've got one page for the week's tasks, it sort of forces me to only, to limit myself to about 5-6 tasks per day so I don't overload myself in order to fit them on that page. And I'm finding that it's actually pretty interesting for a couple of reasons. One, that specific thing that I can't overtask myself on that right page. But on the other hand, I can see sort of my whole week at a glance and yet still have the benefit of the bar to see where I am in that particular day. And then sometimes I'll go down the bar, and as I do things, I might check them off right next to the list. Probably the place where this might not work and where the full daily plan bar might work better is if your calendar changes a fair amount, you might want to have space in that middle part of the page to like X out a meeting and draw another one to the left of it, right? Like make a little chunk and then redraw the bar for the rest of your day as it starts to you know, degrade and change, right? So you can, you got that space. If you do a week at a time, there's really not any space to do that kind of modification.
Right. I think it depends on your situation, your circumstances. Some people have a bit more flexibility than others. By the way, it was Matthew Lang. I'll link to it in the
Matthew
show notes.
Lang. Yeah. Thank you.
And go ahead. Keep going.
Then the final thing I'd say about that too is that, neither the weekly or the daily plan bar may work for some people, for example, who change and switch things a lot. So let's say they work in 15-minute increments, like maybe that's impractical to do, or someone whose schedule changes so drastically every day that it would be annoying to have to draw these bars and keep modifying them. That might be the edge case where this is just not practical in the first place and you maybe shouldn't use it. So if you find yourself in sort of that middle place, I could use either one of these, either daily or weekly, but the two had interesting impacts. And I guess you could even blend the two, right? So you could start the week and do the week and sort of look at it from a high level, maybe have that next page to look at your main themed tasks, and then still use the daily plan bar for the really specific day stuff if you really want to get into the nitty gritty. And then it could be interesting to see in reflection. So here's what I thought it would look like on Monday. And then by the time I get through Friday, let's look at those days and see how they compare to what I thought it would be and see where did I go wrong. It could be a good reflection, retrospection tool to see the difference between what you thought you would do and what you actually did.
Well, and especially when it comes to the system I teach with regards to the Now Year method, if you say, hey, you know what, Wednesday is going to be my podcast day, but then you've got this, you know, the plan bar is kind of telling you, well, look, for the past 3 weeks, Wednesday has not been that. So is that mm-hmm. the correct day for that theme? Or do you need to? So you're right. It gives it, the interesting thing is, and I mean, instantly when you were mentioning, you know, there are certain systems that people like if you're switching tasks quite frequently, maybe this won't work for you. But maybe it could. Like, for example, if you're a Pomodoro user, right? If you're married to the Pomodoro technique, most people would think right out of the box, can't do this. I work in 25-minute increments. But that's not so. What if you said Pomodoro 1 fits in this bar, like this part of the bar, and every Pomodoro is categorized in a certain way? So maybe your first set of Pomodoros, and for those of you not familiar, a full level of Pomodoros is 4 tasks done in 25-minute sprints with 5-minute breaks in between. So you're looking at about, what, an hour, I guess, of tasks thereabout. So what you could say is Pomodoro 1 is one type of work. Maybe it's repetitive. Maybe you do the same thing every day for Pomodoro 1, and maybe you do the same thing for Pomodoro 2, and all of a sudden you've got 8 Pomodoros lined up for the day, and you've marked those in the daily plan bar. Maybe on Monday, Pomodoro 2 appears at the top, but on Wednesday, Pomodoro 3 appears at the top. So there's lots of – the great thing about visual – and the great thing about systems, and I've been studying a lot of Bruce Lee lately. I've been spending more time looking at his stuff and his martial arts Jeet Kune Do, which is basically the style of no style, right? And it is what you bring to it. And I think that what you know, and we've talked about this before, both in person and you know, on the shows that we've talked about this, which is, you know, it's personal. It's personal productivity. So you're going to take the best of, and again, a Bruce Lee quote, absorb what is useful, discard what is not, and add your own along the way. This is kind of exactly what this is. I mean, as we were talking, I'm looking at the hash marks that are going through each of these. And I said, you know, if someone's really having a hard time with their months, you could have a monthly planner that had the 30 days in it. And if you know, if you look at your digital calendar and you have 3 meetings in a day, and you know that that's your limit for meetings, you take hashes and you put it through that day in your paper calendar. So if someone calls and says, hey, can you do a meeting? Instead of looking at your digital calendar, which doesn't allow you to do that or would look busy, you open it up to the monthly and you go, okay, these ones that are all crossed out, I already have 3 meetings that day and that's my limit. So no, I can't. Like there's really a lot of simple things you can do. It just takes the time. Like, how long did it take for you to really hone this? Because I mean, it's obviously probably still a work in progress, as you've mentioned. Again, not unlike what Bruce Lee was doing with his martial art. But how, like, when you were confident enough to say, I'm going to write about this and put it out to the world, how long between when you started it and you felt confident enough to put it out there with the step-by-step kind of instructions that you figured people would be able to get it without bombarding you too much with questions?
I think if you look in the article itself, it probably lists, I thought it was 6 months, but I think that was only because that's when I got around to it, when I actually thought, hey, this could be useful for somebody else. And I actually took the time to make a fake schedule, you know, because I figured it's better if I neatly do it and put, you know, fake stuff in there. But it's, you know, like, it's similar to what I would write, but it's not real anything. So no one's, you know, incriminated or whatever.
Right.
So honestly, within, I think, the first week, I knew that it really worked well. And I probably, if I'd said after the first week or two, let's say 2 weeks, just to verify that it worked for 2 weeks, that might be a good rule of thumb. And if I really wanted to be careful, maybe 4 weeks. So you got a month of it, right, mm-hmm. to make sure it would work for an entire month. So I think I probably could have done it in a week or two. Like, I felt pretty confident about it already that it worked for me. Now, again, that doesn't mean that it works for everybody. And, you know, I love the idea that you take what works for you, you let go what doesn't, and then add your own. That's in a lot of ways the essence of sketchnoting too,
yeah.
right? You listen to what people are saying, you take what you think you can apply, and you let the rest go, and you're okay with it, right? Because ultimately, why are you sketchnoting? It's because you want to improve what you're doing, and this is a way to capture it. So yeah, I think it probably could have done it in 2 weeks in or something once I had a pretty good sense that it was working. And I should mention too that it's helpful if you want to use this method to use either a squared book of some kind. Mm. I prefer Leuchtturm has really nice notebooks, and they specifically have really nice dot grid notebooks, which I guess are very popular for bullet journaling. And I simply use them because it gives me structure enough that it's easy to draw that bar down the right side of the page. And then I played around. I picked up markers and flares and other things, and I started fooling around with you could do color coding. So like if, say, your personal stuff is orange and your work stuff is blue, you could do that. It could be that simple. You could go crazy, right? You could make colors for different projects if you wanted, and that might be a good visual aid to say, wow, this day is really heavy with that project. Maybe tomorrow I should go on this other one because otherwise I'm going to get behind, right? So color can be another aspect to it. And sometimes I'll use a straight edge, but sometimes I'll just freehand it and not worry too much about it. So
yeah, dot grids are, I mean, I use Baron Fig, and I know you use them as well. And mm-hmm. their dot grids are, I mean, dot grid is the way most of us go because it yeah. gives you the structure without feeling constrained by it.
Yeah, like a squared page is pretty heavy, right?
Yeah.
Considering all the lines going on, it sort of distracts. So the dot grid sort of lays back a little bit. Yeah.
So
either one of those notebooks are great.
So, all right. So someone's going to probably ask, okay, do you do this for every single week, whether you're working or not? Is the daily plan bar part of your life every single day of the year at this point? Or do you say, okay, I'm on vacation. It's only what I only apply it to when I'm actively working or actively trying to work and live in harmony with my work life and my home life.
Mm. So I've only used this in my work experience. My home experience is a little bit less demanding, so I can get away with a simpler task list. So I use a Hobonichi Techo mm-hmm. for my daily log. I've done that for several years, and the things I'm doing with that are different things. So that probably could be another post. I've gone on sort of a health journey where my wife and I measure our sleep, our weight, how much water we drink. And I have a little collection of data that I capture every day at the top of the Hobonichi. And then I have tasks underneath it, but it's usually, you know, 5-6 tasks in a day. And maybe I'll draw a little doodle or write a note. So that's the extent of my personal stuff. But my work was more demanding and it was much more meaning driven. And then making sure I block out time to do design work because otherwise meetings will take over. So that was where I tended to use it. And I use it almost every day. There's weeks where it gets really crazy where I might just be lucky to write a to-do list down. Mm-hmm. Those are only an occasion, and I try to avoid that. I like having the bar or some kind of direction as the week starts because it just gives me a little bit of grounding as I go into a week. And I like having the documentation as I go because I can go back in time and see, what was I working on? Why did I make that decision? And I may have written something down in there in sort of my work log. So I think it's proven itself to be valuable enough that I feel kind of weird if I don't do it.
One final question for you, because, and I know the answer to this, I'm pretty sure, but so Outlook is email is where that's pretty much primarily where your digital stuff comes in. And at work you are married to whatever your project management tools are that you're using there. Again, you're using like an Agile or Scrum style. Mm-hmm. Given your drive, like if you could have it, would you just use paper consistently? And now that you're bullet journaling, would that be the thing you use consistently without any, without any, like without a digital task manager per se?
That's a really interesting question. I think because I spend most of my working and thinking day at work, I would have to see, evaluate. I think I would probably still do the plan bar at home if I was working, like say, let's say I decided to work for myself,
right?
Which I don't. I'm an employee and I contracted a company. I would probably adopt something like this. I find it valuable enough. And personally, what I use is I still use Things.
Right.
And I find it, I like it because I can't, I can do levels of depth, but it only goes one level deep. And for the way I use that personally, it's enough. And then for client work, I tend to use Basecamp to help manage discussions. And it's a pretty easy way, pretty lightweight. I think I'm still on Basecamp 2, so I haven't upgraded to 3, but it works for the light kind of project management for like illustration work and other stuff. It works pretty well. So, and then the email tool that I use is Postbox.
Yeah.
I like some of the features that Postbox offers.
So it sounds like, and this is interesting, and I mean, I'm sure we can touch on this in a future episode, but you're one of the few people, I can do this too, where a tool is used for a certain environment. And so a lot of people say, I'm going to use Todoist for everything. And that can muddy the waters. You seem to say, okay, Basecamp's for this, Things is for this, Outlook is for this, Postbox is for this, the Techo's for this, all that stuff. So I want to touch on that in a future episode, but we both have to go. So I want to send people to where they can go to learn more about you and check out all the stuff that you're doing. So where can people find you, Mike?
So the best place to see my stuff, mainly it's my books, you'll find at rohdesign.com, rohdesign.com. There you can see the books. You can sign up for the newsletter that I send every 2 weeks where I'm scouring the internet for interesting analog and sketchnote and visual stuff, kind of like this. And then you can also find me. I'm very active on Twitter and Instagram under the same name, Rohdesign, Rohdesign. And you can say hello there. So those are the two personal ones. And the last one I'll send you to is sketchnotearmy.com. And that's where we promote other people's work from around the world, sketchnoting, either they're just starting or maybe they're accomplished. And we like to promote and share the work that they do there. And we also have a Sketchnote Army podcast. So if you're interested in that space, we've got 3 seasons that you can listen to and find out how people apply that part of visual thinking to their lives.
And I lied. I have one more question. When is World Sketchnote Day again?
It's always January 11th. So it'll be January 11th of 2018.
So everyone can start to get their chops together for sketchnoting by the time that, so listen to Deborah LaFranc's podcast that I had her on. Listen to you, by the time January rolls around, you'll have had 7 months to practice this stuff. You'll be good to go. All right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Mike, for joining me today.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
I really need to have Mike back on the program in a live setting again, because Mike is just a really good guy, a really good friend, has a lot to share, and I hope you got a lot out of this conversation that I brought back from the archives. You can, of course, learn more about some of the links and stuff and some of the other helpful things to explore by going to productivityist.com/podcast432. And the other thing you can do is, of course, visit our sponsors page to explore our sponsors as well. If you want to support the show, go to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors, and some of the sponsors you heard today are featured on that page as well. Now, next week, we got a fresh new episode again. And if you are into email management and want to get a better handle on email, somebody who has focused an intense amount of thought and consideration and energy around managing email, Prashant Nair is joining me on the program to talk about the Stack method and email management. And I did not know much about the Stack method before our conversation, and I'm glad that I know about it now. You do not want to miss our conversation. So again, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that way you don't miss it. Until next time, I am Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you, stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.